If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is Mr. Paul Hoffman. He is the executive director of the Agape Clinic, whose mission is to provide quality health and dental care unconditionally to underserved individuals. Paul, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so glad you're our guest because Agape has been around a long time, and it's almost like it's a legendary institution in Dallas. And I bring that up and give you the compliment because how long have you guys been around?
42 years, Chris.
Isn't that something? 42 years of quality work, and I know it hasn't been easy. And I know there are stories to be told about why you do what you do. Can you first of all tell us about how you first started Agape?
Well, Agape started in the basement of Grace United Methodist Church in 1983. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we provided care primarily to individuals in the East Dallas community. And over the years, Agape's expanded dramatically. This past year, we provided almost 18,000 visits to almost 8,000 unduplicated patients.
Wow.
And just to give you the what's really important to us, Chris, and this will tell you a lot, Agape is a Greek word meaning unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're about.
I love
we
it.
Have no restrictions in terms of income or geography or, you know, whatever people need, we try to offer. And so we offer, you know, years ago, we started out with primarily chronic disease, hypertension and diabetes. And we realized if we were going to need to be effective impacting chronic disease, we needed to offer more integrated health because, as you can imagine, when you're trying to combat, you know, hypertension or diabetes, you've got to involve the whole family. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be, you know, integrated care. It can't be just let's make sure you get on the right meds. So, you know, we've added behavioral therapy. We've added women's health. We've added pediatrics. And we've added dental through the years. And, of course, we also have partners that complement and supplement the care that we provide. We do it all with private donations, primarily from local private foundations. We do ask the patients to donate what they can pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the patients cover about 30% of our cost. And then we raise about 70% of our cost from primarily local foundations and from individuals.
Has that always been the formula? Because I know it's very, very difficult to start a nonprofit. In fact, some of the founders of nonprofits, like small businesses, they're the real heroes because you have to have a lot of courage. Was that always the philosophy or not the philosophy of why you're doing it, but how you were able to make the cost get covered?
Yes. And of course, you're covering something that I'm always concerned about, Chris, because as we expand care, in a way, it increases our risks because, mm-hmm. you know, we've basically doubled our budget over the last 5 years.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm always looking at what's happening in the greater economy. You know, is there a way to partner to supplement our private funding? And so, for example, we're partnering with Los Barrios Unidos Community Clinic. They're a federally funded clinic. They're going to bring in a pediatrician beginning in the late spring. And, you know, that's a way for us to have our own private funds, but then to supplement our funding with other resources because they're federally funded. And, for example, they'll bill Medicaid. And we don't bill Medicaid. And as you can imagine, most of the low-income children in this community are on Medicaid or children's health insurance program. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that those children are seen and served. And we have partnerships with, you know, UT Southwestern Medical School and Texas A&M College of Medicine and, you know, multiple other partners, Park City's Rotary. And, you know, I could go on and on and on because there's certain services that we can provide directly, but we know if we're really going to have an impact, we have to complement and supplement those services in any way that we can to truly meet the needs of the community. And of course, you'll understand that it has to be done in a culturally competent way because so many of the patients, just to give an example, many of the dental patients that we are seeing, and we just started, major dental services back in September. But the majority of the dental patients that we're seeing have not been to a dentist in 15 or 20 years because they simply couldn't afford it.
Right. This is an amazing story that you're telling here. And again, you guys have been around, you know, since the early 1980s. So I was just curious. I really was curious about the beginning. And shout out to your partners that you have right now. But at the beginning, were some of those same partners available? And I'm curious because, again, what you're doing is so amazing. I'm just giving you props for hanging in there because it's not as easy to do when you're starting it up.
No. And you know, if you were here back in the early 80s, Chris.
I was.
yeah, I know you were. And you and I first met probably not too long after that, okay?
Yeah.
So back in the early 80s, you know, Parkland, for example, did not have community health centers.
Right.
You know, they were primarily private, and they were usually done for specific reasons. You know, for example, East Dallas at that time, you know, way, way back when, we had an influx of Vietnamese refugees and Cambodian refugees. So, and, you know, historically, as you know, south of the Trinity River, there's been a huge need for affordable health care.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those of us that have been doing this a long time, we were trying to find a way to do it in a way that was privately funded. And then, of course, Parkland, back in the mid 80s, started realizing that they needed to kind of piggyback on kind of the pioneering that some of us had done, you know. And so Parkland has a system now. But having said that, we still have such a high number of uninsured in Texas. Texas actually has the highest number of uninsured in the country, and Dallas County still has a huge number of uninsured.
My goodness.
Probably 20 to 25% of the population in Dallas County is still uninsured. So even though we are meeting the needs to the extent that we can, there's still a very large unmet need.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
One of the things I wanted to share with you, Chris, because I know that some of your listeners would really enjoy this. This was a testimonial that one of our patients gave us, okay? And I'll leave out her name, and okay. I'll leave out the name of the hygienist that she's talking about. But she said, you know, I wanted to come back to you. I, you know, have been a repeat patient for medical for years, and I just went in for dental. I'm a retired medical professional. And I realized that dental care is so important. You have an exceptional hygienist. I was not able to afford dental care for almost 15 years now. You have offered care to me that is so personable, kind, thorough, uplifting, that it's made a difference in my life. I just want you to know how it feels to feel worthy of receiving care. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. I just wanted to share that, Chris, because sometimes we need to personalize the messages, you know, because I could tell you all these numbers, you know, statistics, how many patients we've seen, you know, what percentage are chronic disease, et cetera. But the reason I do the work that I do is what this woman just said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's really important that we offer care to people that may surprise them in a good way. I want them to feel worthy of high quality care. And, you know, they deserve care. They deserve, you know, physical locations that are accessible. They deserve care that's affordable. They deserve care that, you know, provides dignity and respect to them, because we all deserve that. And, you know, the way that I see this, Chris, is we have a spiritual and religious component to what we do. We want to offer care to the least of these, because that's why we're here, mm-hmm. is to help those that perhaps are less fortunate than we are.
We're talking with Paul Hoffman. He is the executive director of the Agape Clinic. It's been around for decades. And again, the amazing thing about Agape is the commitment to providing unconditional care to everyone. In fact, one of the things you say on the website is we don't request or require documentation, zip code restrictions, identification, or proof of income. It's all about providing quality health and dental care services. And with that in mind, with all the different things you've seen over the years and all the different individuals whose lives Agape has changed and affected and saved in some cases, I know there's been some tough times. I bet during the pandemic, it was probably kind of tough to provide the services that you normally do. But I just think it's just so impressive that you have been doing this for so long that you've got to have the formula, the secret formula to make it work. And also, I want people to understand that what you do is not easy, but it's so fulfilling.
Yes. Yes. And you know, it feels so good, Chris, for you to understand and be so aware. And I'm sure it's because of your time in the community. You know, obviously, you interact with a lot of diverse people.
Mm-hmm.
You've been here a long time. You know Dallas well. You know what works well. You know what perhaps we could do better. It feels really good to hear that. And as you say, you know, it's been challenging. However, that's one of the reasons it's so fulfilling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I like to say, Paul, I like to say the journey is the reward.
Yes. And, you know, I've realized I have grandchildren now, you know, and One of the things when I visit them is it reminds me of try to live in the moment, okay? Because, you know, so often we get stuck in the past or, you know, where are we going? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I really try to practice now is, you know, I go down to the waiting area, and you may see people in the waiting area that are depressed or anxious. And then what is really fulfilling is when most of them are leaving, they've got this big smile on their face. It's like, oh, you can pick up on the vibe. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I was treated with respect, you know, and they met my needs. And mm-hmm. it is so fulfilling. You know, to get back to your comment about the pandemic, it was very, very difficult, you know, because we do supplement some of our care with volunteers, you know, particularly for specialty care. And during the pandemic, as you can imagine, it all fell on our staff. And for a few months, we were doing virtual visits. However, I realized those virtual visits were not as effective with this population, because you can appreciate this, I know, knowing your personality, you pick up on people's communication, mm-hmm. you know, nonverbal communication right. when you meet with them.
Right. Body language. Yeah.
Body language. You don't pick up on a virtual visit that they're depressed or anxious, mm-hmm. but you certainly pick up on it when you're face to face. And so, you know, we were only doing virtual visits for maybe 3 or 4 months during the pandemic, because I realized it just wasn't as effective. You know, we need to see people face to face in order to really treat the whole person, you know, make sure that we're providing integrated care. They may come in for a specific reason, you know, they're in pain or, you know, they know that something is not right. Mm-hmm. There, you know, some traumatic event happened, but, you know, it's important to see it in the context of the big picture. How can we make sure that they receive care while they're here and make sure that they understand that they have to be part of that they have to have skin in the game? And that's part of why it's so important to offer that integrated family-oriented care, because we want it to be multi-generational. Mm-hmm. If we're going to truly make a difference in the lives of our community, that's how it has to be.
Have you seen some of that? I bet you have, that, you know, the people you are helping out and working with and providing some services for, maybe in the 80s or the 90s, then their kids started coming, and then all of a sudden they're grown up, and then their kids started showing up, or just their aunts and uncles, and it just kind of spread and became more of a family thing.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's one of the things that is most fulfilling, is to hear from, you know, a patient, you know, maybe they're 78 or 80 now, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I've been coming here since the early 80s. And, you know, my daughter has been here, and my son-in-law has been here, and now my grandbaby's here. And, you know, it's so fulfilling to hear that.
You know, so also great is, like I said, Agape's been a part of the East Dallas community forever. And with that being said, for those who may be listening into the conversation right now, kind of explain the difference between what Agape does and, oh, say, an emergency clinic that provides whatever they provide, that's, you know, down the street from where they are listening.
And we are just 6 blocks from Baylor Hospital's emergency room. So it's a mm-hmm. it's a really good question. We do try as much as we can to see patients by appointment, but we also accept walk-ins, because we know that at times people need help for, let's just use the term, urgent care, almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to offer that. But part of our approach is, you know, once we address the pain or the infection or whatever their urgent care need was, we try to really engage the patient into making sure that, you know, you've got to have ongoing care with us. Mm-hmm. In order for us to really make a difference in your life, you may have to make some lifestyle changes. For example, a diabetic patient, you know, mm-hmm. it's not enough for us to make sure you get on the right medicine. you may have to change your diet, and you may have to change, you know, the way that you see things. And we know that diet is impacted by, you know, how much grocery items cost. And, you know, maybe fresh fruits and vegetables are more expensive than, you know, fast food. So we can help, you know, with that. It may be, you know, as you know, I exercise every day. You know, that's how we first met. Exercise is so critical in so many ways in terms of mental health and in terms of focusing your mind and physical health and emotional health. And so we try to integrate all of those things, and we try to get it across. You know, it's important that you involve the whole family. You know, you may have come in for, you know, high blood pressure, but, you know, we want to involve the whole family because that's how we make an impact on in your life. And, you know, it's so rewarding and fulfilling to see these success stories, you know, to see someone's, yeah. Not to get too technical, but, you know, to see their high blood pressure, you know, their systolic and diastolic numbers go down 20% mm-hmm. over a year's time, or, you know, to see someone's A1C level for diabetes go down, and, you know, they've been compliant. And part of that is, you've got to treat people with dignity and respect. And if you do, they're going to be more likely to follow your advice, you know. And so it's all of that is important.
Have you ever been in a situation at Agape where it was an overflow day or week? Or because I know you want to try to help everyone that you can, and you rarely turn anyone away. But what if there's a situation where there's just so many people that you can't even determine if you can help them or not, or whether you have the facilities to help them or not? I'm just throwing out a theoretical because I'm just trying to imagine.
Sometimes, and that has happened a few times, Chris, we end up having to do what I call triaging, mm-hmm. you know, and by that, I mean, you know, you have to prioritize care because, you know, maybe somebody that comes in, let's say, you know, toward the end of the day, we've got to deal with something, you know, maybe their high blood pressure is so elevated, we got right. to deal with it then. And one thing I did want to mention, by the way, because this is relevant, we get a lot of medicines donated.
Oh, great.
Just a huge amount of medicines donated. You may have seen, you know, the Grammys, Direct Relief from California.
Right, with the fires.
Help those families.
Yeah.
So that's one place where we get meds donated. Okay. And Americares, they donated medicine. And then LabCorp donates labs to us. So that's one way that we can supplement what we're doing, you know, because that's another issue. A lot of the medicines are so out of reach mm-hmm. for a lot of our patients, particularly, for example, diabetic medicines. Mm-hmm. But I did want to bring that up because what made me think of that is when you triage somebody, let's say their high blood pressure was so high, we have to deal with it right then. Well, we've got a medicine here, you know, here, take this. Come back in the morning, but we want to see, you know, what the impact is going to be. You know, same thing with, say, an abscess tooth that we see. You know, you're going to need to be on an antibiotic for a couple of days before we can deal with that. So there is a way to triage patients like that so that we can deal with their immediate concern, and then we can take care of it in the short term, but then we can take care of it in the intermediate term as well.
This might be a good time for me to explain some of the or tell about some of the other services you provide, or some of the services in particular, the primary and prevention, the pediatric services, women's wellness, specialty care, behavioral health, dentistry, pharmacy and labs, and chronic care management. Which one of those, I'm not going to say has the highest priority, but which one of those do you find that more people are coming in for? To find the treatment, or is it all balanced?
Well, Chris, it would definitely be chronic disease. You know, we see a lot of hypertension and diabetes. Okay.
Right.
And we've been treating those disorders longer than some of the other elements. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, behavioral health, we just started offering behavioral health about 2 years ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. And part of it was just a realization of how things have changed dramatically, of how mental health, you know, yes, it's been a critical need, but, and I don't know all of the reasons, but I do think part of it for adolescents has to do with social media. Okay.
Totally agree.
So, yeah. And so, you know, it's part of one of those things. And so, for example, we don't have a nutritionist or dietitian on staff. And so it just hit me recently. Let's try to get some funding for a dietitian and a nutritionist, because that would be really helpful to a lot of our patients, particularly, you know, patients that are diabetic or hypertensive. So part of what is happening, Chris, is some of those services that you mentioned, we've only been doing for a relatively short time, let's say 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. For example, dental. We didn't really ramp up dental until September.
Really?
And part of that was we found a very generous donor.
Oh, you excellent. Know, matched it all up. Yeah.
Yeah. Helped us get new equipment and committed to multi-year funding. And, you know, sometimes that's what it takes. You know, and so, and again, you're probably aware of this, oral health is critical to overall health.
Yes.
You know, if you're a diabetic patient, let's say you need some teeth extracted, mm-hmm. we need to make sure that your A1C is under control before we extract your teeth, because we don't want to put you in a bind where you may have excessive bleeding, for example. So it's all interconnected and integrated.
You mentioned back to the mental wellness and the behavioral health, and you mentioned that you touched a little bit on social media, especially with Gen Z individuals who are under the age of 25 or so. And I think that is huge. And I think that's, you know, it's almost at epidemic state across the country, because I think a lot of kids are overwhelmed by all the access that they have to things. And of course, sometimes there's bullying online, which is completely different and maybe even more stressful than bullying on campus at their schools. And then you throw in this other little part of, once you went through the pandemic, it created some isolation. And there were a lot of kids who thought that that would be the way the world would be forever. So mentally, like you said, they're having to deal with things that you and I never had to deal with when we were teenagers.
Yes. And again, I want to compliment you on being so aware, because your description is so right on in terms of what's happening.
Yeah.
And it tells me that you pay attention to your community and what's happening in our community. And I'm so grateful that you understand that and you're so aware, and you describe the situation so well. And that's why even I was surprised. Yeah. The extent of what's happening. You know, when we first started doing behavioral therapy a couple of years ago, and understand, I have a master's in social work and I have an MBA. So, you know, I should have known even more as a social worker what was happening. But it even surprised me the extent to what's happening in our society.
I mean, it's just, like I said, it's kind of an evolving thing, and this is kind of like where we are, and it answers some questions that people are asking. Why are these kids so different? Why are they? And, well, guess what? They actually have more information. We talk about the bandwidth. I can't keep up with the bandwidth. Well, imagine all the kids who are actually younger and could keep up with the bandwidth, and they don't know what's what, and they got peer pressure online, or they're feeling isolated. They're not spending time outside playing because they're online, or I could just go on and on and on, but it is definitely something that's a reality. And it's something that I'm glad, you know, Agape Clinic and other places are available where they can help some of the kids out. And by the way, let me go ahead and give you guys some more props, because Agape is the only North Texas clinic offering innovative, integrative, and comprehensive healthcare services for all without prerequisites. And that's something to be said for that, because again, not everyone has access to health insurance or has access to, you know, Medicaid or Medicare or Social Security, or I could go down the list of, you know, I can't afford it. And then there's also guys in particular, and you know this, guys are the last ones who want to go to a hospital or to a clinic to get a checkup. They're going to try to be strong. You know, it's this mentality. Yes. I can't be soft. I got to be strong. I'll fight through this. It's not that bad. I'll slap some dirt on it, you know, and put a bandage.
Oh, it's so true. And this won't surprise you. 70% of our patients are female for that very reason.
Can't drag guys in.
We try so hard, you know, to help males overcome that stigma. And I call it a stigma because it's unfortunate. Even myself personally, you know, for the longest time, I wasn't getting an annual physical, you know, and it's like I had like a self-assessment at some point. You know, it's like you're doing well on exercise, but, you know, you need to. I know you don't like having your blood drawn once a year, but you got to do it. You know, it's kind of silly in a way when you look at it from the big picture. And again, you know, I want to compliment you about your awareness and understanding of how critical these things are.
Yeah, this is the times we live in. And again, that's what this show is all about. It's all about people or individuals, organizations making a big difference in Dallas-Fort Worth. And we've had so many different people on that I've talked to in various, you know, parts of the community or what they might do, whether it's even saving pets or exotic pets this is one you might not know about, or maybe you do. There's actually a nonprofit that provides gently used hospital equipment like wheelchairs or walkers or the different things, because people assume when you go to the hospital and then they make you better, but you got to go back home. You don't necessarily get to keep the wheelchair. You got to get one provided. And if you don't have insurance, how do you have those little things? So there's organizations that I've heard about. And again, Agape is one of the ones that I'm just so impressed and amazed with, because you guys have been around for so long and you're so well respected. And again, it's a legendary organization, not only in East Dallas, but in Dallas overall. Is there something else or anything else you want us to know about Agape that we haven't even touched on?
Chris, I feel really good about the time that we spent together and what we've gone over. Again, you know, I guess to me, the most important point about Agape is we want to offer unconditional love to people, and we want to define healthcare in a very broad sense, because we want to make sure that there are no barriers to individuals in our community that need healthcare. And I think that's the main point that I want to offer. You know, because we want to encourage people to reach out and pursue what they need and what their family needs in terms of healthcare. And so that's probably the most important message that I can convey.
Love it. And one other note, it is the beginning of the year, 2025. Are there any projects or anything you would like to mention that may be upcoming that may have people excited about, or, you know, you guys are just doing what you do best?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, I mentioned the expansion of pediatrics a minute ago with Los Barrios. We're excited about that. And I also want to focus more on pediatrics. You know, for example, I'd like to have a pediatric dentist. I'd like to offer more eye services, you know, ophthalmology. Mm-hmm. I'd like to expand mental health, particularly for adolescents, you know, and I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm aware that we probably need to do a better job about nutrition and diet, particularly as it relates to how can we make it healthy eating more affordable for people. So I think those are issues that I want to pursue in the coming year.
Well, you know what? I've got to get you back on the show real soon. Paul Hoffman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Chris.
And joining us now is Mr. Xavier Henderson. He's the Chief Strategy Officer for Oak Cliff, the community campus. X, how are you doing? So glad you could join us today.
Hey, I'm doing well, Chris. Thank you for asking. And as always, it's always a pleasure and honor to join. Thanks for having me, man. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. As a matter of fact, I'm glad to have you on because this is a new year. It's 2025. And you guys have become kind of like a community epicenter. A lot of people use your food services, your seniors services, of course, stuff for the kids. Let's just start with the Oak Cliff community, the Fort Oak Cliff community campus itself, because how long have you been in that spot now? It seemed like it was just yesterday, but it's been a couple of years now, and it seems like this is the place where everybody tends to gather.
Absolutely, Chris. It is such an honor and blessing to serve our community in this way. As you mentioned, the Fort Oak Cliff Community Campus is certainly a resource for our neighborhood and community. It's a hub. And as you said, you know, we got into the building. We got the keys March of 2021, and we officially did our grand opening on Juneteenth of 2021. And ever since, you know, cutting that ribbon and bringing out the community, you know, we've served the community with all the things that you mentioned, programs, resources, initiatives, food, you name it. And it's been special to see the growth and to see like our team and community just continue to grow. And, you know, we're thankful. And, you know, Fort Oak Cliff is a mission. You know, our mission is to liberate Oak Cliff from systemic oppression by building a culture of education to increase social mobility and social capital. And, you know, the work that's taking place in our neighborhood, like it's inspiring for me. And I'm thankful every day that I get to get up and serve in this way.
Oh, like I said, you guys are building a legacy. And I always like to tell people, I just tell my previous guests, the journey is the reward. And it has been quite the journey. In fact, again, you guys are culturally responsive organizations serving South Oak Cliff community, education, advocacy, community building, and arts are the pillars that define Fort Oak Cliff with the various programs that you've been developing over the years. And I'm kind of curious about this one part right here that a lot of people know, but some people don't. Fort Oak Cliff believes in 2Gen. Tell everybody what 2Gen is.
Absolutely, Chris. So 2Gen is an approach that we take to our programs. Mm-hmm. It's an abbreviation for the word like two generation.
Correct.
Some people know it as dual generation. And for us, it's a concept in education where you're serving both parents and children simultaneously through programs. And the goal is just to help build education, economic support, social capital. And, you know, you're just teaching and educating the parents and the kids together. You're building that family unit. And, you know, that's the approach that we've taken in our programs. That's the way that, you know, we foresee continuing to serve families. And, you know, when we think about like long term, this is a pathway for us to, you know, create that legacy of security that can pass on from, you know, one generation to the next.
Can you talk again about how the education piece is so important, about, you know, you guys passed as educators And that helped with the concept and conceiving of Fort Oak Cliff.
Absolutely. You know, education, you mentioned our pillars. That's our biggest pillar for us, like as former teachers, as kids of teachers ourselves, too. You know, the work of Fort Oak Cliff started when Taylor, our CEO, was a fourth grade teacher in his classroom. And, you know, the very first thing that we ever did was a back to school festival. And what originally started for his fourth graders, it grew from like his classroom to serving the school. And then before we knew it, in a number of days or weeks, it became something that was really for the entire community, Fort Oak Cliff. And, you know, that very first year we had 1500 people show up, and, you know, that's been like our staple event ever since. And, you know, now thousands of folks come out to it, and, you know, we provide school supplies inside of a backpack. We do voter registration. It's a college fair, job fair. We usually have workforce employers on site that are either hiring or getting information so people can, you know, follow up and pursue a new job. So it's a huge festival event with musical acts and food and speakers. It's something that for us, like I said, it's that staple event. But that's how our work got started. It was informed by the youth and students and their need for school supplies, because, you know, a kid can't learn if they're showing up to school without the resources or supplies that they need for instruction. And as a former teacher, you know, I understand the hurdle it can be when you're trying to get into the routine, you know.
Yeah.
Start the day off, and, you know, you can't really get the ball rolling when kids don't have like those needed supplies. So, you know, that's what started the work. And like I said earlier, education will continue to be a component of all the things we do, because, you know, that's how you can, you know, change trajectories and, you know, ultimately secure a promising future where you can thrive.
And right there on campus, you still have opportunities for kids, not just, you know, they can have outdoor activities, which is also good for their mental wellness. But you also have like labs where they can work on their schools, school education, or follow up with homework, or even just thinking outside of the box and be creative with tech things and STEM things. Can you talk about some of the facilities that you have on campus there?
Absolutely. You know, if anybody has not been to our campus, this is an open invitation. I would love to have you come by and give you a tour, become a member, because our membership is free for one. But we have, like Chris, like you're saying, some really cool amenities and some things that will really, like, not only enrich a student, like, education wise, but, you know, there's some things that they just want to do, right? Some hobbies that they can take part in, and some gifts they can nurture. So, you know, the campus itself, it's a 20,000 square foot building, and we sit on 10 acres of land inside of our building. You know, we have a series of classrooms, but, you know, one of the labs that you mentioned, we have a gaming lab where we have gaming computers, and, you know, gaming is huge right now.
Oh, yeah.
Esports, like, that is what a lot of kids want to do. So, you know, they can come in and play. You know, we have some other computers that, you know, anybody can use for a host of different things. But our campus has, you know, a basketball court, a swimming pool. We have an outdoor football field and soccer field, a soccer pitch, a couple of playgrounds. There's no shortage of activities that one can do. And, you know, our programs are, you know, filled with some really incredible partners, right? Like you were talking about kids coming in and learning. One of our partners is really supporting us with some academic enrichment and tutoring, if you will. One of our partners named Beacon Hill is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been providing some great tutoring for our students. So, you know, for us, like, one thing that my brother Taylor likes to say, our CEO, you know, like, we like giving the candy with the medicine, right?
So that's right. That's, you know, right.
Think of something like a gaming lab, or swimming, or basketball, or even Girl Scouts, who's one of our incredible partners too, right? Like, we want to attract the kids, come in and take advantage of some of this fun stuff, but also we want to make sure you get in some tutoring, some enrichment, so we can supplement the learning in schools, because we want to support our schools, right? We want to make sure our kids are closing gaps and showing up more ahead of the game, so, you know, they're more successful in the classroom. So yeah, kids come in. Or parents, bring your kids in, sign up for the free membership, enroll in some of these programs, and, you know, we're here to support.
Oh, I love it. And again, it's I'm just really proud of you guys. You know, I've been with you every step of the way, and the growth and the way the journey has been rolling along. And I just remember a very good friend of mine. He's a philanthropist. His name is Roland Parrish. Yes. So there's a story that made some headlines, and he talked about it when he was in one of his awards, when they were honoring him, the Dallas Morning News was honoring him. Can you talk about the time he heard about the swimming pool and what he wound up doing? Because that's what happens sometimes. The word gets out or somebody drives by and they go, look at this over here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I want to start by saying how, you know, grateful and thankful I am for Mr. Roland Parrish. He is an incredible leader and has such a remarkable legacy. For anybody that doesn't know, I would encourage you to read about Mr. Parrish. He has done some remarkable work here in Oak Cliff, in Dallas, and really across the world. When you really start looking at all the work he's done, it's like, whoa, you've left a legacy that is just, it's so inspiring. And to what you were just asking, Chris, like, I love the way Mr. Parrish tells the story. So I don't tell it as good as him, but, you know, he talks about how, you know, he was driving by and decided to U-turn to come back to Fort Oak Cliff because he saw the condition of our swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who might remember when we first got the building, like our swimming pool, when we first bought it, it wasn't usable, right?
Right. It was the last thing you had to worry about. You had to get the other things together first.
Yeah, the pool, man, it was in bad condition. Like, it didn't have water. It was like swampy green water.
And it was like, you get around to that. We got these other things we got to take care of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And somebody like Mr. Parrish saw that, is like, hold on, man, I gotta go take a look at that. And he U-turns and he comes and meets with us. And, you know, of course, have a good conversation with him about the nature of the work that we're trying to do at Fort Oak Cliff. But, you know, a lot of our original conversations started morphing into how do we get this pool going. And very thankful that, you know, now we have a retile, replastered, fixed up swimming pool that's operable, that's used. The kids, the families, community, that's like, when that opens, it's one of the most popular days, right? Like, I remember last summer when we, on our first day opening it, I think it was 80 swimmers that showed up on the first day. So it's the most popular amenity, and I can't express how grateful I am for Mr. Parrish for helping us to not only get it back going and make sure that we could keep it and, you know, keep it open, but continuing to support it with, you know, making sure we can do the programming, right? Making sure we can bring on lifeguards.
Sure.
We started doing a lifeguard class, right, where we can also train folks to become lifeguards, right? To help other swimming pools with, because, you know, it's not as easy to hire lifeguards as it used to be. I don't know what happened.
There's a shortage. Believe it or not, my son and daughter were both lifeguards a few years ago. And they're like, there's a shortage of lifeguards. And they were actually in demand, and because you have to take all the training and whatnot. And so, you know, I know it's like lifeguards, like it's like eggs right now. It's like, wait a minute, where are we get some lifeguards? But yeah, that's great, because believe it or not, that's an opportunity for work, at least summertime work, and maybe on a consistent basis. And I just like the fact that not only he didn't just throw money at it, you guys conceived a plan where it can sustain itself.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And just like you're saying, man, like thinking about like sustainability and how we think about the future, I'm thankful for, you know, somebody like Mr. Parrish's guidance and wisdom, because, you know, he's been a very successful businessman too. You know, I talked about all of his impact, but, you know, if you just look and isolate just the business, like, he's a forward thinking brother that can provide insights in ways like that. So I'm just thankful for him all around, for the exact points you just made, CA. And, you know, I'm honored to see an impact like that and be a part of it. And, you know, it's so awesome to see our youth engage and our community enjoy an amenity like a swimming pool in their neighborhood.
Can you talk about some of the partnerships you were able to gather along the way? Because I remember at one point, you know, one of the things you were making people aware about was there's not easy Wi-Fi accessibility in Oak Cliff. And in some underserved neighborhoods, it just doesn't exist unless you go to the library. And then you were able to get some partnerships. I want to say, you just tell me who the Wi-Fi provider was, because I don't want to say the wrong name, but I'm pretty sure we're on the same page.
Oh, yeah. You're thinking of AT&T.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep. I was talking a little bit earlier about one of our labs. And on one side of the room, we have some really cool gaming computers that I was talking about. On the other side, are some incredible deals that AT&T contributed to us to stand up what they call a connected learning lab. And, you know, Wi-Fi was a part of that too, where, you know, our campus was given Wi-Fi that, the community can use on top of like those devices as well. And, you know, the computers, you know, again, that's a lab where, you know, you can go in and do anything that you need, whether it be apply for a job, do some tutoring, whether it be to send some emails, right? Our GED participants have used it for practice exams. So, you know, we're thankful for any partner, especially AT&T, but, you know, anyone who wants to come in and provide technology in communities like ours where, you know, there is a digital divide, where, you know, folks don't have, everyone doesn't have access to internet, even though you need it. It's a basic necessity now, right? Like to apply for jobs, to pay bills, to do any number of things. And, you know, we don't want our community members to be left behind as, you know, jobs evolve and you need more digital skills. So, you know, to have a partner like that make that type of investment, Chris, those are the ways to me that you make a real impact. And, you know, you really invest in communities based on the needs.
You know what? Again, I keep talking about the journey and, you know, the journey is still rolling along. Always in journeys, there's adversity and sometimes there's tragedy. Mm-hmm. And last year, we lost Dallas Police Officer Burks right outside of Fort Oak Cliff. And it was a tragedy and it was out of the blue. And the guy that shot him, it was just totally senseless. I mean, he just was walking around and then he shot him. And for a lot of people, I mean, I guess where I'm going with this is, sometimes you go, oh no, what are we going to do now? And then you find out that there's a lot of love there, that mm-hmm. sometimes a situation like that actually draws people together. And you find mm-hmm. out that a lot of people care than you might have thought of in the past. Can you talk about that situation a little bit and how the community responded to all of that?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying in every regard, man. It was senseless and we were saddened by it. And to your point about the community, like I will say that was a time where we did see so many people come together to honor Officer Burks, to honor his family, his mother, to honor the officers that serve us across the city. Whether it be social media posts, all the other like messages that we got at the time, like people were really, they were really showing their support, man. I reflect on that time and I'm very thankful for those that did come together in that way to honor him and the other officers as well. And to honor our department, DPD. Like that was a time where I'm very thankful that folks came together in a really harmonious way. And, you know, I think we came out of that situation thinking about what are the ways that, you know, we can inspire hope and how can we honor the officers and Officer Burke specifically as well. And, you know, right now, I would say like we're you'll probably see some folks have already seen a message if you're subscribed to our newsletter. And that's, of course, something that you can do on our website if you need to go to foroakcliff.org and subscribe. But, you know, we're bringing some attention to a memorial that we are trying to do on our campus for the officers and Officer Burks. So if you follow us on social media, you'll see it in the next few days and weeks that we're trying to bring attention to a memorial we want to do for him. But either way, to your question again, Chris, that was one of those moments that, again, it was a tragedy. And I think that just showed like Dallas will come together when we need to. And I'm just thankful for all the people that that checked on us, that checked on the family, that done something for the department, like that really showed like the soul of our city, if you will.
Exactly. And it also showed, you know, the unity in the community with the Dallas Police Department and Officer Burks in particular, because he was such a great man, a quality guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, you just, sometimes people don't know what other people are doing low key. They don't know. Cause you know, they're not getting headlines or they're just doing their job. And Officer Burks, this guy, he really, really was the kind of person that wanted to bring people together, and he was doing his little part.
Yes. Totally agree. Though I didn't, you know, have the honor of meeting him in person, the story that I've heard from friends, I have a cousin that was cool with him, and the community members that we work with that knew him, like he had the legacy and reputation that you if you're raising a child or a son, it's like, I want you to be like Officer Burks in so many ways. When you think about myself as a former educator, and I've heard from other educators, you know, the type of educator he was. He's somebody to look up to,
right?
Somebody to honor, and it's hard to even talk about it now, man. I'm thankful that I know so many people who knew him who have been able to at least share stories that that stuck with them. You know, I'm inspired by the stories I keep hearing.
Exactly. And again, that's once again part of the journey. It's like all the ups and downs. And again, we will never forget Officer Burks. We're talking with Xavier Henderson. He is the Chief Strategy Officer for the for Oak Cliff. And I wanted to go this way because we were talking about the kids, and I did not want to forget the seniors. Because sometimes when organizations, you know, try to cover some ground, they kind of leave out the seniors, and you guys did not do that at all. And you talked about to Jen, but can you talk about some of the programs you have for seniors too? Because, you know, everybody got grandma, everybody got, you know, pawpaw, you know, and everybody got somebody that's a little bit older. And they want stuff to do, too. And they want to stay in touch with everybody. And they don't just want to be, you know, shut off somewhere.
No, absolutely, Chris. And, you know, we're very thankful for the seniors, the elders in our community that, you know, provide us wisdom and counsel on so many different things. And, you know, I will say, like, for our seniors, our team is always thinking about activations and activities. Mm-hmm. And in the next coming months, you'll start seeing some things that we brand as like our OG events. OG for us, and well, really for the elders, they actually redefined it as the outstanding generation.
You're not going to let that go. Them old heads ain't going to let that go.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you know, what programs have looked like in the past, right? Like we've had bingo before. We've had financial or digital literacy, right? Where, you know, we've had sessions where, you know, we leverage that connected learning lab and those devices, and, you know, elders are able to get more acquainted with some of the technology. And, you know, we've talked about or had a class where they're able to write a will, right? A lot of the times, you know, families don't have wills in place, right? So we've had that before. So those are the things that you can be on the lookout for. But, you know, all of our events are, especially the major ones, are for everyone, and especially all ages. Like our Juneteenth festival is scheduled for this year. It's always on Saturday, so it's not on Juneteenth today, which falls on a Thursday this year. Mm-hmm. But June 21st will be our Juneteenth festival. And, you know, all ages come to that, especially, you know, the elders are encouraged and welcome to come, where we have free food and folks are out there playing dominoes and playing games and, you know, just enjoying the day of liberation. So, yeah, if you are an elder in the community, my biggest ask and request would be to come to 4 Oak Cliff, sign up for a free membership so you can see when all these things are coming out. You know, we have a newsletter we get you signed up to. We get your information so you're on our call list. And, you know, our staff, they reach out when things are happening. Because I know, you know, and depending on the generation, everybody's not checking email or social media.
But right, you know, right.
Coming, you get on that call list and our team will be calling, inviting you out to stuff.
I'm looking at the month of February. You guys are booked solid with all kinds of activities, including, what is this, the sound box with the DJ, the arts and culture. Let's see. I'm looking at, bold idea coding. What is that?
Yeah, man. So I want to talk about all the things that you just mentioned.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So February is a big month. And I guess your most recent question, bold ideas coding. So for kids, that's one of our partners. They lead sessions where, you know, you not only learn coding, but you get paired with a mentor virtually. So, you know, that's a skill that, you know, it opens so many doors. So, of course, look into Bold Idea. They're not just with us, but they're in some of the schools, too. So even if you're far away from 4 Oak Cliff, I would encourage you to check them out. Another program that you just mentioned, Soundbox, is super awesome. That's a class where kids are being introduced to the basics of becoming a DJ, right? Mm-hmm. A beat matching, mixing, scratching, you name it, right? It's led by a good friend of mine. His name is Kenny. His DJ name is DJ Ill Time. And, you know, he leads a class. And what's cool is when you start seeing the kids advance, right? Like they actually start knowing how to DJ and the mixes they make. Like you go down in there and it's like, oh, this sounds really good. And we offer up an opportunity once a kid really knows what they're doing. Sometimes they get to DJ at events. Like we've had some of the Soundbox kids DJ at our back to school festival before, right? They get to get a set, right? Mm-hmm. So it's cool. And you know, that's one of those things too. You know, you can, as a kid, you know, you could start DJing parties for real. You
exactly.
Know?
Make some money,
man. You know, and that's people always need DJs, right? That's
exactly. Not going anywhere
either. So that's a cool program for the youth. And then something else that's coming up, it's not in February, but you mentioned the arts in March. So on March 8th, it'll be a film workshop. For the last few years, we've partnered with the Oak Cliff Film Festival, which is one of our incredible partners. And every year for about 3 months in the spring, the Oak Cliff Film Festival brings out their staff and partners and guest speakers, like local producers and directors and filmmakers of all sorts, to speak to high school students. And they do an all-day film workshop. So on March 8th at 4 Oak Cliff, the Oak Cliff Film Festival will be doing it again. And what's cool is the high school students learn how to make a short film, and at the end of like the workshop, their short film is entered into the Oak Cliff Film Festival, and they have a student block, right? Where they look out a venue and you get to invite all your friends. The community comes out and you get to have your film featured during the Oak Cliff Film Festival. And then you get to do a panel afterwards and do a Q&A, and the students are answering questions from the audience. It's really awesome. So for any students, this is for high school age kids though, but any high school students that want to become a film director or actor, or like become a cinematographer, get familiar with editing, anything, you name it. Like this is a great space to not only learn the concepts of film, but you know, to get local mentors here in Dallas, which, you know, the Oak Cliff Film Festival, like they have a great network of people.
Yes, and they do.
They want to invest in the youth. So I want to encourage people to check that out too.
Okay. I'm also looking on the calendar and I see you've got this relationship with the Girl Scouts. So tell us about the Girl Scouts relationship with Fort Oak Cliff.
Yeah. Girl Scouts is awesome. We love our Girl Scouts. They've been,
so they're having their meetings there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. On Monday nights. Okay. Come out. If you got a student, a young lady who would love to be a part of our troop, please come to Fort Oak Cliff. Again, our membership is free. Become a Girl Scout. And this is actually one of my favorite times of year, Chris, because, you know, they're selling the cookies. And I'm one of our troop's biggest customers. I'm always buying quite a few boxes of Do-Si-Dos, and my wife likes the Thin Mint. So I'm definitely going to buy some cookies this year. But, you know, the Girl Scouts, too, you know, they're really awesome here in Dallas. I don't know if anybody's been to some of their facilities, but like their STEM camp, and it's awesome. We got to tour it, and I just love what they're doing for girls, not only here in Dallas, but across the country. It's a really awesome partnership.
Amazing. That's why we love Fort Oak Cliff. I want to thank Xavier Henderson for joining us. And we also want to thank Paul Hoffman of the Agape Clinic, whose mission is to providing quality health and dental care unconditionally. And we want to thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.